Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Playoffs, Ravens, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry. Oh, man. You feel it? I do. It's been just kind of building all week. It's kind of been there all week, to be quite honest with you, in a lot of different ways. It's here now for sure. It is a Buffalo Football Friday. Friday, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio here with you. AFC Divisional Playoff Round on Sunday. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, start your game day the Crosby's way. Back in week one. Yeah, I'm going to rewind all the way back 20 weeks ago, whatever it is. Back in week one, right before the season, I did a show right here, Extra Point Show, and I said, call me with predictions on the season for a record and how the season ends for the Bills. And I'm going to write down your predictions. You remember this, right? I've saved them. I have them here. Okay? We had, and listen, I did not expect, it was total love fest, homerism, if you will, for the Bills. I thought some of you were out of your mind. Like, all these people predicting all these, this incredible win total and Super Bowl championships. I'm like, woo, transition year. I'm not sure. Sure, they have a chance. They have Josh Allen. I mean, of the, let me count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 calls that we took on that, and the ones I wrote down here on the 10 calls, 2 said the Bills would lose in the wild card. The other 8 said they'd win the Super Bowl. All right, now, that's one thing. But how about Robert in Hoboken and Curtis, our buddy Curtis, who calls from Niagara Falls? Both are the only ones that actually had the record exactly right, 13-4. And both said Super Bowl championship. So we got Robert from Hoboken at 13-4 Super Bowl title. Curtis in Niagara Falls, 13-4 at Super Bowl title. We had John at 10 wins in a Super Bowl. Vince at 12 in a Super Bowl. Henry at 11 with a Super Bowl. Mac at 12 with a Super Bowl. And John in Detroit, 15-2. Very ambitious, John. That's okay. But who knows, right? The way this thing went. We had Joe in Tonawanda, 9-8 out in the wild card. Bob in Virginia, 10-7 out in the wild card. We've already passed that. So we know both of you have undersold and underestimated the team, but I don't blame you. I mean, to be here today where this team is with a chance, I mean, they won 13 games And now you're in the AFC divisional round, which is interesting to me. No one predicted them losing in this round or the AFC championship. It was either out early or win the whole thing, right? Now, we're in Buffalo. We're taking calls on the Bills, and people are excited for week one. So I'm not surprised, I guess, you know, that happened at that time. But here we are. And I spent some time over the last 24 hours or so kind of just reflecting on the season as a whole. And if you've listened to me long enough here on WGR and elsewhere, podcasts, all the things that we do, all our platforms, but especially on this show, you know that I've always been a big picture person. It's the big picture. That's what it's all about. It's not, you don't take these snapshots and make all these incredible judgments. Now you can based on, okay, well, they're not playing well here or there in certain games. I get it. But the big picture, like, it's a marathon, not a sprint. Every game has its own DNA. You can't say just because you played, well, they play like that against the Chiefs. Yeah, well, they didn't play the Chiefs that day, right? You can't do that. Every game is different. And I spent some time thinking about and looking back on the season because I just think it's really amazing that we're here based on what we thought this what many thought this team would be heading into the season. When I go to the page where I look at the Bills' schedule, like the entire schedule, and I have it laid out in front of me, the offensive numbers just jump out more than even I really kind of realized, I guess, for the Bills this year. The offensive numbers of, like, how many points they put up. Those first three games, 34, 31, 47, they had a lull, which included the Baltimore game, which was the next week. 10, then 20, then 23 against the Jets. And they just went on a heater, and they had all those games of 30 or more. 34, 31, 30, 30, 30, 35, 42, 48. And then you had, towards the end of the year, a little struggle against New England at home when it appeared they probably weren't going to get the number one seed, but they were still alive for it. 24, 40 against the Jets, 16 against New England in the game they played, their backups. But really, when you look at this as a whole, it's incredible. The points, the numbers that they put up. And it was a little uneven on defense throughout the year. I mean, they gave up 28 in the first game against the Cardinals, and they bounced back with two really good performances against the Dolphins and Jags. Not great offenses, obviously, this year. And then they started giving up some points the next couple weeks, especially against Baltimore with 35. They had a nice little run of 20, 10, and 10 in the middle of the season. And then mostly, it was around there until, of course, the big one against the Rams, 44, and then 42 against the Lions, and we were all very worried about the defense. And maybe you are still. But I also just think about where this team was, what we were expecting of them, and then where they came, which is why I brought out the sheet of the predictions at the beginning of the year. I think it's fascinating that the Buffalo Bills are in this position now, considering what a lot of the thought and perception was about them heading into 2024. And I think it was very recognizable that it was totally different from most compared to years past, right? Now, some people went really all in and really far on they're just not going to be very good. They're not going to make the playoffs. Total rebuild year, reset year. Some people did that. I think the majority of opinion on the Bills, though, was, yeah, it's going to be a tough fight in the East. They might not win it, and it's a transition year. Might take a year here to kind of reset to get back to contending for a championship, which I think was totally perfectly fine and normal to think. As opposed to 2023 and 2022 and maybe even a little bit before that where it was, okay, this team is ready. They have all the tools. They need to go out and win. You did have, and we've seen this and we've heard this, the Bills even posted their own Twitter video when they won the AFC East, I believe, and there's been others since then. How many people saying the window has closed? Remember all that? The window has closed. Well, I'm here to tell you the window is wide open right now. Regardless of what you thought about this team, because if you would have asked me, and we do, right? That's what you do here. I talk about it for a living. I'm sure, and I know this, actually. Back in August, every time I did a out-of-town radio spot, national radio spot, television, whatever it is, and people would say, hey, what do you expect from the Bills this year? I would even say, like, yeah, look, if they win the East, I think that's a good job considering the transition. But they still can because they have Josh Allen. And, yeah, they're probably not going to be the same kind of team and have the expectations of, you know, getting to, you know, maybe possibly getting to a Super Bowl. But they still should be pretty good because you have Josh Allen and a chance. But maybe you're looking at a situation where you kind of have to do it a different way, which they have. But I this season has exceeded my expectations. I'll say that. But now you're here. It doesn't matter what the expectations were. It doesn't matter what you thought about their transition back in August to this year. What matters is now how you perform and going forward. And they have the Baltimore Ravens coming to town. And I really don't know what to do with this game. I go back and forth on how I think this game is going to play out in my head all the time. I could see a low-scoring game because both teams are going to want to keep the ball on the ground, run the clock, not give the other quarterback time to opportunity, I should say, to do a lot. I probably lean more the other way and say, yeah, but these two quarterbacks are just unbelievable. And their offensive lines are going to try to control the game. And they could, even though they might want to run, they can run for big yardage, both teams. I think I lean more that way. I know it sounds weird to say. I don't know if confident is the word. I was more worried last week, I guess, for this team against the Denver Broncos than I am this week. And the reason isn't because of necessarily like a confidence to win. I think there was always confidence to beat the Denver Broncos. They were the better team. For me, it was always last week. The Broncos had nothing to lose, and the Bills had everything to lose. The pressure was squarely on Buffalo. They're the huge home favorite against a team that has a rookie quarterback coming into your house, and you didn't get the number one seed, and now you got to get back to try and be in the number, you know, you were number two. You got to win one game just to get back to that second round where the Chiefs are kind of waiting. I feel differently this week because I think a lot more pressure is on the Ravens, actually, than the Bills. Now, there is pressure on the Bills, no doubt. What kind of pressure? Not internal. Not like, oh my God, if they don't win, heads are going to roll, things are going to change. Not from that. I mean the national talking heads, the callers, the fans, like, okay, like here you are, you got to win, or I'm slinging all my arrows at Sean McDermott, right? That kind of pressure. You haven't been there. The national, well, here we go again. Bills can't get over the hump. 5 straight years AFC divisional round. But on the other side, it's the same for the Baltimore Ravens, even more so, because they have a quarterback who has 2 MVPs, and in a weird way, that kind of works against Lamar in this situation. That he has the hardware, the individual hardware, but not the team success. See, Josh Allen doesn't have the individual hardware, nor the team success as far as Super Bowls or AFC championships. But for Lamar, that's been the talking point. Well, you have this, but what about the team success? And when your team gets there, you can't play up to that level, right? That's been the talk. And I think that's real this week. It's super real. I'm going to do what I did last week with you today. I'm going to ask you what your confidence level is about this game. We had a real good set of phone calls last week at 803-0550. So we'll do that again today. 803-0550, 716-803-0550 on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Sal Capaccio with you. What is your confidence level heading into this game? Had some good calls in that last week. Had some people who said, yeah, I'm very confident. Had some say, I'm not confident. Well, 31-7. 10-7 at halftime, 21-0 in the second half. And they answered all those questions, I guess. So let's get to it now. Let's get to Steve in Orchard Park, who's starting us off. Hi, Steve.
How you doing, Sal?
Good. Thanks, bud.
My call was just basically about what you were saying about the Bills' offense. And, just watching a lot of national shows. I know it's crazy, but all you hear about is Henry, you know, Jackson, understandably. You don't really hear much about the Bills other than Josh Allen. We scored 5 more points than them in the regular season as total. I think Josh has sat out maybe 11 quarters, if I'm right. So I don't know. I just heard a guy say that I don't think Buffalo's got enough around Josh Allen. But the stats say different. Mm-hmm. So in this game, I'm going with number 17 overall. I think he's the difference in both teams, because if Baltimore has to rely on Jackson to pass them to victory, I'm not sure they can do it. But the Bills, I know, can. If we have to pass the victory, I know Josh can do it. So, you know, I like our chances, confidence level. You know, this is a great team we're playing. So if they beat us, it's not going to be like, oh, my God, we lost to the Ravens. They're a damn good team. So I just think that I think we're a good team. And, again, if Derrick Henry, if we can kind of control him, not stop him, but don't give up the 80-yarders to him or Jackson, I think we got a good chance in winning. But, again, we're playing a great team. So
yeah.
I think they can go either way.
You got it, buddy. Thanks. No, I appreciate that. And you're right, big plays, right? Don't allow that 87-yard run. Big plays. Lamar's very capable of it. Thanks a lot for the phone call, Steve. Ray in Clarence. Hi, Ray.
Hi, good morning. You know how exciting it would be for both organizations and fan bases after Saturday's game if Houston pulls off the upset. Mm. You know, as a fan, I can look ahead and be like, oh, my gosh, can you believe it? Whoever wins hosts.
I know.
And Sal, you know, as far as confidence level, you know, we lost four games this year. The last one was nothing. What I keep going back to, they're a formidable team. I'd rather play Kansas City this week than Baltimore, but the fact is they lost five games. Five games, however that happened, I don't know, but they weren't playing two meaningless games at the end that they kind of lost with backup. So it has been done. And then finally, these two formidable offenses, I kind of hope it's entertaining, like us in Detroit, you know, with us coming out on top. But, you know, I hear ball control throughout the week. Like, you know, we control the ball, we keep them off the field. It doesn't matter if we start off with the ball and we keep it the whole half. Mathematically, it's probably not possible, but no matter what, they still get the ball right after us. So it doesn't matter. To me, the ball control thing, if we get into a shootout, I'm okay with that. So be it. Yeah. You know, we've proven it. I think maybe their defense, man for man, might be a little bit better, but I trust our coaches better. But when it comes to possessions, I mean, nobody's getting two, three more possessions than the other team unless there's a quick turnover. So I never understood the ball control to keep the other team off the field when they're going to get it right back after you're done doing with whatever you're doing. Maybe you can help explain, because why should we be afraid of our ability, but, you know, be less confident?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've said this before, I don't correlate time of possession to winning games, but I think last week was a good example of how it can correlate to how the game script goes and controlling the game, right? And I think the Bills did that last week. And to your point, right? Like, they still scored 31 even though they held it for 41 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, you're still able to score.
I don't know what the possessions were on each side, but it's just that we stopped them more.
Yep.
That's what it
yep.
comes down to. It's not like the the Bills, somebody I think in the end may end up getting one more possession than the other team unless you do some onside.
Yeah,
kick.
Without a turnover, by the way, they stopped them. I mean, which was great,
so,
you know, and that's what you needed too.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So
yeah, thanks, Ray. I got to run. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. Good call, Ray. Thanks. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, Sal. I just had a couple keys to the game that I feel could be lead to a Buffalo victory, and then I do have a question for you. So the first thing I want to say is I think for us to win this game, there's four things. I think first we got to hold Baltimore to under 24 points. I think you take away the, offensively, Allen did not play well in the Cincinnati Bengals playoff game, but defense still gave up 27 last year, the divisional round. We lost, you know, obviously 13 seconds. And then the AFC Championship, I believe they put up 38 to Kansas City Chiefs. So I do think this is a huge game for the defense. I think 24 is going to be that magic number that I think if we're under that, hold them under that, that's what I think will be good for us. I think we need to hold Henry under 90 yards. I saw a stat. I think it was Eric Turner from Cover One said games that he goes over 90, that they're maybe 11-0. I think the Bills can't punt more than two times. And then the last thing I want to say is I think the cornerbacks are going to be crucial for us in this game. I do think the Bills are going to have a great game plan. Obviously, I don't know the game plan. No one knows the game plan except the guys in the locker room. But I think the Bills, we will see them play a little bit more man, and I think that's going to allow opportunities for us to blow up the run. obviously win the turnover battle. But I do have a question for you.
Yep.
Have been in a certain podcast and things over the last week, and I have a question. When the Bills put Dorian Williams on the field, my question is, why is it that they have to take Taron Johnson off the field? Why couldn't they take DeMar? Just play with one high safety.
You could, and certainly that's an option, right? But it really takes you out of a lot of what you want to do defensively. I mean, you know, you're going to really be risking, you know, down the seam, over the top. You're really putting yourself at a vulnerable position. You could definitely do that, but I just think that it would be very counterproductive to how you want to play. And also, you know, those safeties, they support against the run as well, right? So, you know, all it takes is him get to, you know, up to the second level, and then there's only one man to beat. You can do it, but you're just putting yourself at a really disadvantaged position by taking a safety off and putting him on. And what are you going to do with, by the way, the other part of it is, what are you going to do then with Taron, right? I mean, if you bring the other linebacker in, where does Taron play? Where does he fit in? You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Absolutely, yeah. I was just curious.
Yeah, but I think that might even be more than even the first point I made, because if you bring the other linebacker in, you still have your outside corners, you have your nickel corner, you could play with another guy in the box, that's fine, you could do that. You know, it would be pretty different departure from what we've normally seen, but that's pretty much the answer to your question, Mike. It's a good question, and it is the conundrum of Taron Johnson this week with 4-3 and nickel, and we'll see how the Bills play it. Let's go to Marvin. What's up, Marvin?
Hey, Sal, how's it going, buddy?
Good, thank you.
Well, the last caller was, we were on the same page on some of the things. It's coaching and what they do with their players. I couldn't agree more with them. Williams has got to be on the field. There's no question he's got to be on the field. And this is where I say coaching comes into play. If they come up with that same old too high, the defensive backs 15 and 17 yards.
Yeah, you made the same call last week. You said Williams should be on the field over Matt Milano, and you're completely wrong. I'm sorry, Marvin.
Hey, let me just Sal, we got a different measuring stick here. We're not playing Denver, bud. We're not playing Denver.
I agree that maybe Dorian Williams should be playing a base defense, but
and I hope I'm wrong, and I hope you listened to what I'm saying.
I did. I listened all last week.
Be on the field.
I brought it up on Monday, but you didn't call to say that you were wrong.
What's that?
You didn't call on Monday to say what you were wrong when I talked about it.
Well, like I said, a different team, a different caliber players. If you look at the roster, Sal, and anybody, and I'm a diehard Bills fan.
I know that. I don't question that whatsoever.
If you look at the roster, our roster, other than a few positions, is not even comparable with them.
No.
So, I mean, people that were all Buffalo this and that, listen, I want Buffalo to win so bad, but it's going to come down to coaching. And if they come out with that same old weak zone with this team here, I mean, DeMar Hamlin, oh, my God, it's so sad when you see him tackle. And if I looked at that game, the Denver game, I watched it three times. If you look at the poor pass rush we had, I mean, literally none. Russo got a junk sack in the end. Miller got a little bit of something. But if you look at that game as a whole, the pass rush, it was non-existent. Three times I watched that game, Sal. The only thing that might do for Buffalo, it might help them because we don't have a pass rush, and they might be there to put their arm up to try to grab Lamar when he tries to run. But other than that, I'm telling you, it's coaching. The coaches need to come up with something. And if they come out with that same old lame defense, I'm afraid. And that's where I'm at. So Williams, in my opinion, has got to be on the field. And to compare Denver with Baltimore, you can't do it.
No, I'm not comparing that. I was comparing your point to last week, and you were wrong about Matt Milano.
Well, that one game, Sal.
Okay, that's all I'm telling you. But that's okay. I got it. You're always worried. You're always negative. It doesn't matter. 31-7, it doesn't matter. 13 wins, it doesn't matter. I get it. It's how you live your life. It's all good.
No, you don't. Now you're being a little bit on the poo-poo side. But.
No, but that's okay. It takes all calls. We love when you call because you bring the other side that a lot of people don't bring.
Well, I try to be objective. I'm objective.
No, I don't think you are. I think you look for the negative. That's not objective. As other people look for the positive.
Well,
there's an objective, and then there's people who go too far one way, and I think you go too far the other way, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. If you look at the first run of the play with the Baltimore game,
yes.
Watch that game three times.
I did. I know what happened. I talked about with that Oliver yesterday.
Yeah. Do you see how slow our defensive backs are compared to Henry? A 246.
Yeah, but Marvin, hold on.
He, They were straight ahead, straight line running.
I know, but Marvin, you're...
Okay, go ahead.
But Marvin, hold on. That's not why that play happened, okay? Once he gets out in the open field, of course, you could say that all you want. But, you know, those guys aren't there to defend the run necessarily. They're different. But that play happened because... They used a fullback to wham block Ed Oliver, who got eaten up, and then watch Dorian Williams, by the way, who took a terrible angle, and watch Bielan Spector, who got eaten up. That's why that play happened. That's not on the defensive backs. Give me a break.
Well, I would have to say that they have a better chance with Dorian Williams tackling Henry than Lamar Hamlin or Lewis or any of the other guys.
Well, you're not going to get DeMarro Field, most likely. It would come down to Taron Johnson coming out. Let me ask you this. Would you like to see Dorian in place of Taron Johnson then? That's what this comes down to, Marvin. It's not about DeMar Hamlin. Get him out of your brain. It's not about that. If you put Dorian Williams on the field, you're probably taking Taron Johnson off. Would you rather see that?
No, I like him on the field, but as far as on a running play.
But that's what it comes down to.
But if it's obvious, you don't know for sure, but if it's coming down to running, I would much rather have Williams in there than any of those guys. Because The tackling is listen, he's a big man. Those guys are it's almost like they're afraid to tackle the guy.
Yeah, I don't think they're afraid to tackle him. I got to run. Thanks a lot for the call, Marvin. Let's go to Sean in West Seneca. They're not afraid to tackle anybody. Let's go to Sean. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was just calling about my confidence level is very high for this game. You know, the national media kind of has the Ravens winning it as far as I'm concerned. That's what I'm hearing. But what hasn't been talked about is we signed Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson after that Baltimore game. Not right after, but after that game. We had a lot of injuries on defense. And the other thing is the Ravens are playing great. Who have they played the last 5-6 weeks? The Steelers, the Browns, the Giants. I'm confident I think the Bills win by 2 scores. We slow down Henry. They say, Lamar, try winning the game, and it's not going to happen. That's all I got.
All right. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Let's go to Dan in North Tonawanda. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Sal. Good afternoon. So I'm not a glass half empty kind of person, but I'm also not a glass half full kind of person. The glass is twice as big as it needs to be person. So I look at it whenever we come to these game of the year type scenarios. I just look at our past track record, which has not been very good. I mean, you look at the 13 seconds game, the Minnesota game here, where Jefferson makes that ridiculous catch, the Rams game this year that we lost in the shootout. The only one that really had success in was the Detroit game in the shootout. So, I mean, what it comes down to is I think the way I've heard it put is your strengths get you to the playoffs, but your weaknesses are what get you eliminated. And I think the offense for the Bills is obviously a strength. The defense as of late for the Ravens has been a strength. So it's really going to come down to how the Ravens offense compared to the Bills defense pans out. And I just think that this is going to be one of those games where whoever has the ball last is going to win. And I think in our past track record, and again, I'm not going to completely slam McDermott because he has had moments of greatness as well. But when it comes down to that final second or that final drive or that defensive stop that we need, I haven't seen enough in our past history to give me the confidence I need to feel good going into this weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dan. Appreciate the phone call. There's a lot of concern, no doubt. I mean, they're playing a really terrific team with dynamic players at really key positions. That's why it's so fun. We'll take a timeout. We are going to be joined by Paul Hamilton just briefly. We're going to just kind of go over the Sabres real quick tonight. They do play the Pittsburgh Penguins. If you're on hold, stay there. I'll still get to you in the next timeout. We'll get to Paul Hamilton very quickly just to kind of set up today for the Buffalo Sabres because they do play at home tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So we'll do that when we come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Friday, and that means we'll be back in a snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills. All right, let's bring in our Paul Hamilton right now. Sabres Penguins tonight at 7 p.m. down at KeyBank Center. And, of course, you can hear that right here on WGR and along the Sabres Radio Network. Paul, good morning. What is happening today with the club? What do they got going on?
Well, we have an optional here, so Lindy will be speaking in a little bit here. But that's not strange. It's an optional. They've had a lot of practice time this week, and since they haven't had a lot of games, unfortunately, you know, they're watching teams just go flying further and further ahead of them, which I kind of said after Saturday's game is, well, they got to sit here and wait till Wednesday to play a game and watch all the teams around them pick up more points and get further and further away. And unfortunately for them, with the exception of maybe this Pittsburgh team, most of the teams have been pulling away. Most of them have been winning.
The only other team in the conference has played less games now than the Sabres, the Tampa Bay Lightning. So they've had to, because the Sabres had those two games in Europe, they obviously at this time of year now, they had to back off on some games with the scheduling, as you allude to. So here we go. All right, so let's get to what happened the other night. Carolina Hurricanes, what was the difference in holding on to a lead in this game, even though when it looked like they weren't going to hold on to a lead?
Yeah, Ted and Sal, it's amazing. I sit here and watch the practice after the Colorado game. Lindy said they had a long, long film session about what he wants. He wants them to be aggressive. Go at the guy with the puck. Don't sit back and let them pass it around and pass it around because they'll find the open man. Make them make a play right away. If they make a play, so be it. But they didn't do that. And sure enough, Carolina scored to make it 3-2 with the goaltender pulled. They went back just the way they did it before. It's like, what is wrong with you guys? What didn't you understand about why? I watched the practice. I watched them practice 6-on-5. I know exactly how hard they practiced it. And they didn't do it at all. So Lindy called timeout after the goal. And it's a good thing he did, because he had to remind them how he wanted them to play. Sure enough, they go out and do it. They did it exactly the way Lindy Ruff drew it up. I don't think Carolina set up in the zone after that. Buffalo kept getting the puck out, and they wound up getting the empty net goal. It just astounds me how they just can't perceive what he wants, and he has to waste a timeout to remind them, remember, guys, I want you to go straight at the puck carrier. I want you to go straight at the puck. Rush them. Make them make a play they don't want to make. And it worked. But it's just like, why does he have to call timeout to remind you what you just practiced less than a week ago?
What happened in the third period with no shots on goal? I mean, how do you go a whole period without a shot on goal? I know they had the goal, but how do you go a whole period without a shot on goal?
They had maybe four or five opportunities to get one, and they gave up a great scoring opportunity with a pass, and a couple were blocked. But, yeah, they spent if they had maybe 1 minute in the offensive zone the whole period, I would say that's a lot. They basically stayed in their own end and got hemmed in. It wasn't the whole time they were under siege. But Luukkonen had to make some good saves. What the Sabres did do is block a lot of shots. They blocked 25 shots in that game. So they did block shots in that mess in the third period. The shots, I mean, if you look at it, they only gave up 8 shots. So it wasn't like the shots were 20-0. They were 8-0. But they just weren't able to get going and get any offensive charge going. And then, as I said, with about, I think it was 3:33 when they pulled the goaltender to make it 6-on-5, and they scored. And they did get one goal in the third period. It was a 3-0 game, and they did get one goal in the third period. Luukkonen was screened, two Sabres screened him, so it wasn't his fault. And then they get that one with the 6-on-5, and if Lindy Ruff didn't have a timeout, I guarantee you Carolina would have tied the game because the Sabres just weren't getting it.
The Penguins come to town. Tristan Jarry goes on waivers. He started more games than any other goaltender for them this season. He goes unclaimed. Any surprise there?
No, because really it was the game against the Sabres early in the season when it was a 6-5 Pittsburgh overtime win, and that kind of flushed his season down the toilet. After that game, he didn't play again until November 15th. Mm. So he kind of went out of favor in that game. He played 11 minutes and 33 seconds and gave up 3 goals on 5 shots. And they just weren't happy. He played opening night and gave up 6 goals. So they just weren't happy with him. So, no, that wasn't a surprise. It may be a surprise that he started the season and after a few hiccups sat the bench. But once that happened, no, it wouldn't be a surprise.
All right, Paul, what are we expecting for the Sabres tonight? I'm guessing UPL will be back in goal after a couple days off here?
Yeah, they gave him the day off in practice yesterday after a 35-save performance and a very good game in the win. So, yeah, I would expect he would be in goal. And then, you know, you don't have to worry about it till Monday. You know, you play in Seattle on Monday. So it's going to be a back-to-back, so Reimer will play one of those games. So they probably make sure the trip and all that. If they might give Luukkonen the choice, you want to play the first game or the second game. But I think we will see both goaltenders as they start the West Coast trip on Monday and Tuesday.
All right, Paul, I know you're going to hear from Lindy shortly, so we'll let you get back to work. Thanks a lot for joining us for a short time today.
No problem. Thanks. It was late, but we didn't find out it was optional till like 25 after.
No problem. You got it, buddy. I'll let you go do your thing. We got some calls to take. Thanks, bud.
Take care.
All right, have a good weekend. That is Paul Hamilton, and of course, he is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Raylax Honda. Raylax, we got this. Let's get back to your phone calls. Theo in Canada on the Bills and Ravens this weekend. What's up, Theo?
Big Sal, nice talking to you again, brother. Big T from Canada. Again, before anything, thank you for the content you give us. You're the man. I'm just going to change a little bit of the direction of the conversation.
Yeah.
My dad always taught us, you know, the most reliable way to predict the future is to create it. So I know there's some negative dialect, and I respect everybody. I'll say this. I'm so excited to be there on Sunday with my family. It's a culture that, you know, the blue, white, and red the Bills create. I love USA because of the Buffalo Bills. The Buffalo is just going to annihilate them. It's in my mind. This is our year. I love you all. Let's go, Buffalo. Clean sweep, and let's bring it home, baby. The jewels are coming to Buffalo. That Lombardi Trophy, I will see it as a diehard fan from 1987 in Buffalo. I guarantee it. Let's go, Buffalo. Sal, love you, man.
Thanks, Theo. I appreciate you. Interesting time to become a fan. 1987, the strike season, the strike year. They played a couple games with replacement players, three games. Missed a year. And then the Bills, second year of Jim Kelly, right? They don't even have Thurman yet. And then they trade for Cornelius Bennett that year. Interesting year to become a fan. Very good. Thank you, Theo. Appreciate you up there in Canada. All the way out to California. Let's go to John. Before I do that, John, our thoughts with everybody out there. How are you and your family? I don't know where you're located, but hopefully everything's okay with you.
Hey, Sal. Thank you so much. We are about 65 miles south of Los Angeles, Southern Orange County in San Clemente. So we're out. Well out of harm's way, but, you know, we do have some friends up in that area, and it's just devastating and truly heartbreaking, so appreciate the thoughts.
You got it, John. Be safe, buddy. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you, Sal. Confidence level, I've got the Bills 31-20 for the following reasons. Playing at home, you know, we've earned the right to play at home with a better record this season. You know, the wins at Detroit, the wins against Kansas City, those matter.
Yep.
And I'm not sure when the Ravens became a combination of the 85 Bears and the greatest show on turf. I think the hype train has been a bit too much lately. I think the crowd and the cold weather matters. I just think we're coming into this game with an edge. I think all the Pro Bowl snubs and, you know, another potential MVP snub for Allen, I think it weighs on these players. I think it's going to matter. I really look the offensive line to come out and just, I think they're going to make a statement and control things. And overall, I mean, I don't think the Ravens defense can stop our offense. I think there's just between Josh, the running game, and I mean, who do they cover? I just think there's too many options for us. And then I'll wrap up with a question to you, Sal. My one concern is the read option. Now, Pittsburgh got destroyed last week by the read option, but it seemed like they'd never faced it before.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure the first matchup, if Baltimore ran it all against us, or what do you think about that as a potential pitfall for us on defense?
It's all about, we've talked to players, it's all about discipline and understanding what your keys are when that ball goes into the belly, and you just can't, you know, you can't try to play it too fast. You have to understand what's happening. I'm not going to say you have to go slow, but you have to make sure you process it, right? And understand what you're seeing. So it's a general way of saying it, but they have keys. One guy goes to the quarterback, one guy goes to the running back, right? You have to make sure you do that. Make sure where you are where you're supposed to be, and then however they want to do it, if he pulls it out and he runs, you should have somebody on him. If he gives it to Derrick Henry, you should have somebody on him. So it's really just disciplined fundamental football. It's way harder to execute than me saying it, but that's really what it comes down to, John. They prepare for it all week, and you just have to stay true to your keys and not get caught up in it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, great. It's just we ran it in high school and in Pittsburgh last week. It was just, I don't know, man. It's like they didn't respect Lamar at all. It was just.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, and no doubt about it, John. Thanks a lot for the phone call. To his point on the legend of the Ravens growing this week, I love Bulldog's tweet. Check out Bulldog WGR on Twitter. X, he said, pretty sure that by the time 6:30 Sunday rolls around, the Ravens O-linemen are all going to be 400 pounds and Derrick Henry's going to be 7 feet tall and run a 4.040-yard dash. Pretty good by Bulldog. Yeah, that goes into exactly what he's saying. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. And when we do, a little bit later, we'll have Sean McDermott. More of your phone calls before that here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, welcome back here to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. John in Rochester's up next. What's up, John?
Hey, Sal. Thanks so much for taking my call. Love the show. I got all the confidence in the world about McDermott, Babich, and Brady having the right game plan for Buffalo's victory. My take was going to be about when the Bills beat the Ravens, Texans beat the Chiefs, we beat the Texans, Rams make it to the Super Bowl, and we beat the Rams. We will have beaten every team we lost to this year on our way to the first trophy.
That'd be amazing. It'd be pretty cool. You're right. I've heard people say that. The revenge tour, right? And then someone said they should call them the Avengers if that happens. Got to get through one step first. And I don't think the Texans are going to beat the Chiefs, but you never know, right? It is the playoffs. And by the way, someone earlier called up, and I apologize, I forgot to bring this up, when he said the games against, you know, Kansas City and Detroit, those mattered. That's right. Now, granted, the Bills did play their backups against the Patriots, so maybe they would have won that game. But if the Bills had lost either the game against the Chiefs or the Lions, they could very well be on the road for this game because the Ravens were only one game back, and of course, they beat the Bills. So if they had finished with 13 wins like the Bills instead of the 12 that they did, they would have had home field advantage because of the tiebreaker. Let's go to Todd in Cooperstown. Hi, Todd.
Hey, Sal. First time, long time. I was listening to the Extra Point Show yesterday, and the guys were talking about Taron Johnson's pick six in the last Ravens playoff game and how weird it was seeing kind of the run back with no fans there. Well, a handful of fans able to kind of make it to down to the almost to the field where you know normally wouldn't be able to do that, getting down from their normal seats. And talking about how weird it was to see no one there and how much of a juxtaposition that is from, you know, what I associate with that run back. Partially because, and I don't know if you remember this, but on the Extra Point Show that Monday after the game, you played a phenomenal mashup of that pick with the Rocky song, jumping back and forth between the national and local call. And I happened to record that on my phone. I heard it that one time, thought it was one of the cooler things that I've heard on GR. And it's become kind of a regular, you know, text with the Bills boys on a particular big game. I'll send that out in the morning to hype folks up. And so I implore you to see if you can dig that matchup up. And
I will try. And I will not take credit for creating it. Now, I know you didn't say I did. I did play it. I didn't create it. One of our producers did. I'll have to go back and see who that was. I have a couple of guys in mind who were here at the time. So before, instead of naming them, I'll go see if I can dig that up, Todd. But that's, I really appreciate it. It was really cool. There was another one with the Titanic music. Remember how they always do that? The mashup on social media with that? There was another one. But that one was great. I remember that morning, the Rocky music for sure. So I'll try to dig that up here in the break when we take a timeout, Todd. Thanks for bringing that up.
I appreciate it. Let's get it. Yeah, hype it up.
Yeah, you got it. You got it. Thanks, Todd. Yeah, yesterday was the anniversary of that pick six by Taron Johnson. All right, we're, a little over 48 hours away here from Bills-Ravens, AFC divisional round. We have Sean McDermott coming up here after this timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's a Buffalo Football Friday. Also, we're taking your calls, and we'll also, of course, look ahead to Sunday's weather with Patrick Hammer at 11:30. Stick around. Sean McDermott next on WGR.
Lamar Jackson back to throw. Guns it into the end zone. Intercepted! 2 yards deep in the end zone. Intercepted by Taron Johnson. And he brings it out. And he's still on the run. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40. The 30 gets a block at the 20. 10, 5. Touchdown! Touchdown! Taron Johnson goes 102 yards.
Murph. John Murphy on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Love it. Love it. Miss our guy, Murph. By the way, people ask all the time about Murph. We see him around. He's at the games. He comes by, hangs out in the radio booth, says hello. So great to see him when we can at home games. Chris Brown, of course, calling the games now, doing a great job. That was a all-time call, one of the all-time plays in Buffalo Bills franchise history. And it was 4 years ago yesterday that that occurred. Taron Johnson is pick six against the Baltimore Ravens. I had read somewhere that the Ravens, that Lamar Jackson led Ravens, have not scored. That's the fewest amount of points they scored in a game, him starting, 3 points in any game. So you go back to that game and that night, and that was a special night right inside that stadium. No doubt about it. Taron Johnson, the pick six right there against the Baltimore Ravens, helped the Bills advance on to the AFC Championship game that year. In the meantime, Bills-Ravens, Sunday, 6:30 p.m. We now get to the Western Hotline, where Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins us.
Coach Sean McDermott's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com.
And good morning, Sean McDermott. Sal Capaccio here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good morning to you, Coach. Happy Football Friday.
Good morning to you as well, Sal. Happy Friday.
All right, Coach. We're just going to start right away with injuries, and I know people have been monitoring Ray Davis this week in concussion protocol. You've only had him and Alec Anderson on the injury report this week. Where do things stand right now with anybody and him specifically?
Yes, Ray remains in the concussion protocol. We'll see where that goes, and then Alec is trending in a good direction. We'll see today how he looks.
Okay, your team, obviously, last week without Brandon Codrington, did you think he had a good week of practice? I know he's been a full participant, but from your eyes, do you think he's had a good week of practice as he after missing last week?
No, he has. Yeah, he's done a good job of getting himself back and putting in a good week of work here.
Sean, what did you think about Khalil Shakir returning punts last week and the job he did?
I thought he did a phenomenal job. He really did. He's so steady stepped right in and did a real nice job.
Sean, you were awarded yesterday with the Greasy Neal Coach of the Year Award, and this goes to the award for the most outstanding coach in professional football, the 36th Greasy Neal Award. The Maxwell Football Club names you their recipient. How much does an award like this, mean to you? I know you're all about the team, but a personal accolade like that coming from this type of organization.
Well, it's a huge honor. It really is, number one. And two is... it's a team award. I think that, that's really what it recognizes is the staff that's around me, and not just the coaching staff, but the personnel staff, everyone in the building. This is being a head coach is a tough job, and it's a challenging job, and you're only able to do it when you have great people around you.
Sean McDermott on the Wester Hotline. Bills Ravens Sunday at 6:30. All right, Coach, let's get right into it. This is a formidable opponent, a team that you know, beat you guys pretty soundly on the scoreboard in week number four. You said earlier this week you learned a lot of lessons about that game. What did you learn? What did you learn about that game, and maybe the lessons that came out of it that helped you through the season and into this week?
Well, I mean, I think it's a snapshot really of adversity on the whole, where you don't get the results you're looking for, and you go back and you evaluate everything that you can, from personnel to strategy to play calls, just to name a few of the areas. I mean, they're countless at this point. So you try and take as much out of that experience as you can, certainly when you look to play them again later in the year. And so that's an important piece for us. And now, as we get into the last couple of days heading into the game, is really the execution of those key learns that we took from that game.
This is a team, obviously, that can do it a lot of different ways with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Talking with some of the defenders yesterday, being disciplined and understanding, you know, what your keys are, you know, how detail-oriented do you have to be this week specifically because of the read option, because of all the different ways that they can kind of attack you, I guess?
Well, they're an extremely talented team, and then when you add the scheme on top of it, there's a lot of dimensions to their scheme, you know, turning around and handing the ball to Derrick Henry, and Lamar Jackson and his ability to run and be explosive as well, two very explosive players that they have in their backfield, and then what they're able to do in the passing game with the tight ends and the wideouts. So extremely talented football team on offense, and they're tough to stop because of it. And then they're able to play a complementary game because of, again, the roster and the talent on the defensive side. They're able to rush the passer well, stop the run game, and get people into, you know, one-dimensional situations, as we refer to it, and then affect the quarterback.
We spend a lot of time here on the radio and in the media talking about, you know, the different personnel packages. Do they go base more? Do they run Taron Johnson? There's a conundrum here. Do we make too much about that? I mean, you guys have to go through that, but how much do you kind of have to sit down with your staff and really kind of map out what the plan is? Do we get a little too far in the weeds and overthink it, or is that what's going on with you guys as well, as far as how you have to approach the week like this?
Well, I think you guys are right. You know, you've got to look at every scenario, every situation, and figure out, you know, what's best every week, not just this week, but every week. And so you do a lot of asking yourself, asking, you know, the staff questions, and going through a menu of options until you get to what you think is, you know, the best approach that helps you, you know, or gives your team the best chance to win.
Speaking of Taron Johnson, yesterday was the anniversary of his pick six, also against the Ravens, and we just had a phone call about it. We played the clip from John Murphy calling it. I remember being in that stadium that night. Of course, it was COVID, but it sounded like there were still 60,000 people there, even though there were only 6,000. What do you remember about that play, being on the sidelines, and him running right past you guys down there?
Yeah, just a great moment for the Bills organization, and so happy for Taron. And, you know, he's a young man that works so hard, and it's just been a true joy to watch him grow and develop in life, but also on the football field here.
Sean, if if you guys, you know, don't have the season you have, and maybe you drop another game, you're playing this game in Baltimore. How important is the fact that you're here in Buffalo, because these two teams were kind of on a collision course? Maybe the only question was, where would this game be played? Well, it's in Buffalo, and I know that you guys are thankful for that with Bills Mafia coming out.
Oh, Bills Mafia is undefeated, man. They're the best fans in the world, and just so awesome that we get a chance to play at home. We can't wait to kind of be side by side with them this weekend. And, you know, the game is going to be decided on the field, but they certainly are a big piece of every win that we have here.
All right, Sean, well, I'm going to say to you what I said last week. I think I speak for a lot of people listening when I look forward to talking to you again next week. Best of luck on Sunday.
Sounds great. Thanks, Sal.
All right, you got it. That is Sean McDermott, Bills head coach. So, yeah, not a lot here this week, right? It's all been dissected. And really, honestly, the injury report here is it's just one guy and concussion protocol. And by the way, if anybody's wondering, like, Ray Davis in concussion protocol. That's really all the Bills can say about it. He's in concussion protocol. That's why you don't go much further there with the head coach on that particular topic, because he's going to tell you he's in concussion protocol, and then we'll see where it goes from there. And my read of it is he has practiced 2 days. Today will be a third day, and then he has until – I actually think – I have to look this up to make sure. I believe you can clear protocol on Sunday morning, but generally you're going to know by Saturday evening, because the Bills then would have to make a roster move to call up Frank Gore Jr. or someone else. If that doesn't happen, I think things are trending well for Ray Davis, who, by the way, was wearing a Guardian cap at practice yesterday. So he was out there practicing and wearing a Guardian cap. A couple other notes here, okay, I want to get to. First of all, I've been asked a couple of different questions this week that I want to make sure that everyone knows the answer to these, because these are good questions that come to me from various listeners. And sometimes people even say, like, oh man, I feel dumb not knowing the answer to this. These questions are probably very much on the minds of people that they don't want to ask, or they don't know to ask, or feel weird asking. So I'll answer them for you. This is Getting Connected with Our Fans. And of course, it's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Number one, the Bills have Anthony Brown in as a quarterback to replicate, simulate Lamar Jackson. And as Sean McDermott gave great insight to the other day, he's the reason why you bring a guy like that, and he can run and he can throw. It's not like just putting a mobile guy back there and saying, okay, here comes a play, because the defense knows what's coming then. He's going to run around. With him, you can actually try to throw it. You could try and run it. He can do different things that, you know, Lamar Jackson would seemingly do. He's not Lamar Jackson. Nobody said he is, but you have to try to prepare as best you can. If you remember last year, Kingsley Jonathan got a lot of praise from Spencer Brown for acting as Max Crosby leading up to the Raiders game, and said he was a great kind of Max Crosby replica. And I talked with Kingsley and he said, yeah, I studied all his moves, wanted to make sure I gave him a good look. So that's what you do with Anthony Brown. The question becomes sometimes from people, well, how do you simulate Derrick Henry? You don't. Okay, here's why. You're not tackling live at practice. You're not putting a big bulldozer in the backfield in practice and running it straight at your starting defense and saying, go tackle the guy on Wednesday and Thursday. That's not how it works, right? So, yes, you want to have, maybe you put a bigger person back there to look like Derrick Henry because he's so big. And then you say, okay, that's him. And you know, but it's not like they're giving him the ball, running straight downhill and saying, Cam Lewis, go tackle him on a Wednesday. They're not doing that. So you don't have to simulate Derrick Henry at practice. He's a running back. You do with Lamar Jackson because you have to simulate all the things he can do. And you're not taking Anthony Brown down to the ground anyway. You're not tackling him at practice. So the question about how do you simulate Derrick Henry, you really don't, because you're not actually running live tackling against each other at practice, and no one's going to do that. There are rules in the CBA about doing that, by the way, and you're certainly not doing it this time of year anyway. Okay, number two, this is the big one I've gotten a lot this week. Sal, why are the Bills practicing indoors when they have this really cold game they should be preparing for? Couple of answers for you, okay? Number one, I don't know of any practice field that has heat underneath. All practice fields get frozen when it gets like this. So you're going to have a frozen practice field. And yesterday, by the way, you had like however many inches of snow you had in Orchard Park yesterday, but it was a lot. It was blowing. The only thing practicing outside yesterday would have done for the Buffalo Bills is to cause them to have a super unproductive practice. That's all. The ball would be on the ground. No one would be able to see. You might as well just do fumble drills all day. That's all it would turn into. Like, you know, and that's not the conditions anyway for Sunday. But the reason why you go inside is because the point of practice is to, drum roll, practice. That's the point of practice, to actually practice, to get in what you're supposed to get in, to get a productive practice in, to work on the things you need to work on. You can't do that when the field is frozen and snow is blowing all over the place. It's counterproductive. Okay, that's part of that. The other part is, are we really thinking that this Buffalo Bills team, after what you've seen over the last several years, can't play when it's 5 degrees out in a game, regardless of how they practice or where they practice or when they practice? Come on. You haven't seen enough of Josh Allen in those conditions? Or Dawson Knox, James Cook, whatever? Like, shouldn't we be past that point of, why aren't they practicing outside to simulate the conditions? It's going to be cold. Now, in August and September, I would say September and October when it's raining, maybe a little bit. Maybe you do that. Hey, it's going to be raining on Sunday. We got a little bit of rain. Even when it's not raining outside, you might pour the water on the ball to get a little simulation. That's not the case this weekend. It's going to be cold. They can handle the cold. They've done it before. We saw the perfect game in the cold, very similar conditions. And the Ravens are trying to prepare for this game. They can't go outside either because of why? Frozen field. What are they supposed to do? So you know what they've done? They practice inside. They open up the doors. They make it really cold. They turn the fans on. They're trying to simulate the weather conditions. I don't think the Bills even need to do that. They're not trying to simulate anything except have a good practice. They're trying to simulate Lamar Jackson. That's why. So I hope that answers that question and those questions about the Bills that have come this week. Let's go to Joe in Utica. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Sal. How's it going?
Good. Thanks for hanging out through the interview and all that.
Yeah, no worries, man. I love you guys. Love WGR. Not to step on Butch's toes, but got a few points I want to make. You know, I'm one of probably the only guys I know out here in Utica that's just diehard, have been since I can remember my first memories. So I just want to say, excuse me, I'm running around doing a bunch of stuff.
That's all right. Take your time, buddy.
So I just want to say first and foremost, like, I think sometimes in sports there's just a vibe to a team, and I think we have that this year. There's a vibe in the building. I think it's obvious, and it starts with the leadership with McDermott and Josh. I think you just notice there's a noticeable change in both of them this year. And I was at the game last week, row 3, 137, and I saw you down there on the sideline, and I think it's contagious. I saw you having a good time doing your job, of course, but having a good time, and I love it. And, you know, I also just want to say real quick, right before Thanksgiving, I had to put my dog down, and he was 16 and a half years old. He was a little black pug, and everybody that met him said he's not a normal pug. And his name was Roscoe. And you might wonder, or you might know, obviously not hard to figure out if you're a diehard, why I named my dog 16 and a half years ago Roscoe. And it was just the most fitting, perfect name for him when he was a pug. And since then, a pug won the National Dog Show. I was reunited with two very important lifelong friends that I had brief falling out with, and a couple other heres and theres.
Wow.
That I think he's up there looking over us. They're looking over me anyway and guiding me a little bit. And I feel like he might just guide us to a Super Bowl. And I'm not trying to get all crazy and sappy, but I just have that feeling. And I'll get into some more X's and O's things I wanted to touch on, but that just kind of came to me while
I was there. Yeah, I appreciate that. I will tell you, Joe, first of all, very sorry for your loss. They're like family, as you know. It's a long, great life I'm sure you gave Roscoe, and I'm sure he gave you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing. Of course, Roscoe Parrish. I had a dog in the early 2000s that we named, my wife and I, we named Willis for these very same reason.
Beautiful. I love it, man.
I'll also tell you, this football season was our first year without our boxer, Roxy, who I talked about on the radio a lot, who was with us for 11 years.
Wow, I have a 13-and-a-half-year-old boxer, as a boxer owner, I'm sure you know that there's
no doubt about it. Thanks for sharing that, by the way.
No problem, buddy. Her name's Ruka. I'm a huge Sublime fan, so that's where that comes from, waiting for my Ruka. But anyway.
You got it.
That's the other stuff. I think this is kind of, you know, one of those games where it's a lot of focus on our defense versus their offense, and rightfully so. I think our offense is going to handle business this time around. But I think this is obviously a McD and Bobby game, and I think really what it comes down to me is they need to stay on top of the packages the Ravens are running in and switch out our guys accordingly for what they think is the best counter. And obviously all week, you know, I listen to all the shows Monday through Friday and pregame and all that stuff on the weekends, and everybody's talking about D. Will coming in and subbing in for Taron Johnson and all that, and I think obviously they're going to have a package for that at certain times, and when it's warranted, we will see that. Who knows how often that's going to be. But to me, what I haven't heard, and excuse me if you've talked about this and I missed it, but Cam Lewis. I mean, I think that the coaching staff has had a lot of faith in him. They've shown that he has earned their respect, which is big for this coaching staff. And I think that we could see Cam in on some of those packages as well, whether it's in for Taron Johnson or maybe in for DeMar or Taylor Rapp in certain packages. I think we need to take a look at that. And then just one final thing. This comic book, one of my buddies I was in the Marine Corps with always says that he says it's a Watchmen quote from this comic book. He says he's in the comics and he says, you know, I'm not, it's from the comic book. He says, I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me. And I think that's our mindset going into this game. We're not playing the Ravens. They're playing us. Now, we got to play them, but they're locked in there with us, too.
Yeah, that's great.
And I'll listen to what you got to say.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, you got it. Okay, I'll touch on the Cam Lewis and Dorian Williams. You're not going to see Cam sub in for Taron. You're not going to see him sub in for a safety, but he will be on the field in dime packages. He has been all year. I can't imagine that would really change much, to be honest with you. So you'll see Cam, and I do agree that he's done a really nice job this year when he's been in those packages, and he's had to fill in for Taron Johnson. I do think you'll see Dorian Williams on the field. By the way, Marvin, if you're still listening, you will see Dorian Williams, and I agree with you, but he shouldn't be brought in if you do see him, it's going to be more of a 4-3. He shouldn't be brought in to replace Matt Milano or Terrell Bernard. It's going to be to replace Taron Johnson, really, and that's the conundrum the Bills face, right? So you will see that, and they will have to match up personnel, and I think they will do that in this game. When these two teams played 3-4 years ago in the AFC divisional round, that game we just referenced, Taron Johnson pick six, there was 78 snaps for the Bills on defense. 46 of them, Taron Johnson played. The other 32, A.J. Klein came in as a 4-3 linebacker. Just think about that and how they decided to play that. Now, no Derrick Henry, but they were still a very, very good running team at the time. Let's go to Matt in Orchard Park. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's up, Sal? And it's going to be tough to top that one with putting down Roscoe. We put down Atticus in July, so maybe this is the year. But I also just want to give a quick shout-out to all of the Bills backers out in the Los Angeles area, specifically a close friend, William Scott, and his wife. I know that they were welcomed into the OC Mafia on Sunday, and we'll be watching the game down in Orange County. But just thinking of everyone out there, I know you have a ton of friends out there.
Yeah,
as well.
We do. Thank you. And you're right to mention the Bills fans that we've heard from out there, as well as so many others, obviously. But thank you for that.
Yeah, of course. And just headed into this weekend to try to kind of lift things up. But, I just think it's going to be one of those classic one Buffalo weekends. We had an incredible Sabres game on Wednesday night in the arena, a crazy stat, never before seen, and with a goal scored on no shots on goal, which is crazy. We'll head into tonight against the Penguins and hopefully pull the victory there. Tomorrow with the Bandits, and 48 hours or however many hours, 60 hours from now, hopefully we'll celebrate rounding out a classic one Buffalo weekend and really change what was a drought generation into the Josh generation. And I'm really looking forward to it. Give me the Bills 17, Ravens 13. Low scoring affair.
Low scoring game. Okay. Well, both teams might want to hold on to the ball and have that happen. We'll see. Thanks a lot for the prediction. Haven't had one of those today, but thanks a lot for that. Let's go to Clover in Texas. Hi, Clover.
Hey, Sal. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Okay, I have a question about the defensive line, but real quick, I always hear you talk about how you go on other shows, like for the opposing teams we're playing. Is there any way we can find that? Do we just look at Odyssey?
So, I know you are on Twitter/X. I know you are. I've interacted with you. A lot of times I'll post when I go on, but sometimes I don't. Yeah, I guess the only way you would know is if I posted I was on or going on, right? Sometimes I do. I try not to fill everybody's timeline up with it. But so, for example, today, hold on. I got another one today, right? What do I do today? Hold on. Today, I am going on WBAL in Baltimore at 12:30 p.m. How about that? WBAL in Baltimore, 12:30 p.m.
Yeah. I really like that, hearing the opposing team's perspective and, especially when you interact with them too. But that kind of leads to my question that Jeremy and Joe had a gentleman from Baltimore on the radio show earlier this week, and he was really good. And they had asked him about some of the losses that they had had this year. And they mentioned that, or the guy mentioned that, Raiders and Browns, that they had bigger defensive lines, right? Mm-hmm. So it was Jeremy and Joe kind of like had this cringing sound.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, do you think someone like Jordan Phillips will be more involved in this game?
I do. I think that this is the type of game where you're going to have to bring some beef up front. I think Jordan Phillips, I think Dwayne Carter could play a role in this game.
Yeah.
I know he was inactive last game, but we'll see. Probably not as much of a guy like Quentin Jefferson in this game versus a guy like Jordan Phillips. You kind of have your choice there if you want a little bigger or a little more of a penetrator from that side. Now, look, Ed Oliver is undersized. We know that, but you're not going to take him off the field a ton. Even in this game, he's going to have to be someone that you rely on to try to penetrate, to try and cause a little havoc in the backfield. It's not just the Bills still run a penetrating defense, so you got to be careful with, hey, let's just put big guys up there to clog it up. You still want to make sure you get in the backfield when you can to disrupt things. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then, you know, I remember when Jordan Phillips was here, you know, the last go-around before he left, when he was paired up with Ed Oliver, they really, you know, were wreaking havoc. So that would be neat to see if he gets involved.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll be listening today to you on the Baltimore. Yeah, I really do like that different perspective.
For sure. Yeah,
you know,
I went on
the questions they ask you.
Yeah, I went on the Fan over there as well. You know, this week, earlier this week, this is like the third time in Baltimore, and we've done that here. We have people from different radio stations come on, and yeah. So I appreciate that, Clover. I know you love football a lot, so thanks a lot for that.
All right. Thank you, Sal. Appreciate all your work.
Yeah, you got it. One more call before we squeeze in Patrick Hammer. Brian in Buffalo. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Sal. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, just a quick question. Did you agree with the play calling defensively that Pittsburgh did with Lamar and how J.J. was just going right at Henry all the time? Isn't that considered, if J.J. decided to go straight at Lamar, that's a free shot, isn't it?
JJ, say it again. What you said, JJ Watt? You're talking about?
I mean, I'm sorry. I mean TJ.
TJ Watt. Okay.
If TJ, he kept going at Henry. The game plan Pittsburgh was they would just grab when they had that option.
Yep.
Where Lamar could hold it or hand it off. If TJ went straight at Lamar, thinking he was keeping it, and put him on his back,
I
that's a free shot, isn't it?
It is, as long as it's deemed, you know, not unnecessary and that he was actually a part of the play, if that makes sense. You know what I mean?
It makes sense, but he is so good at that. Yep. It's almost impossible for a defensive lineman to make that decision that quick. So
here's what you do, Brian. Let me explain it to you a little bit, because it's a great question. And what you saw last week from the Steelers, there's a couple different ways you can play this, but basically it's option football. Option football is very, very, at the simplest form, man-on-man. When you see option, one guy takes the quarterback, one guy takes the running back. And the way that the Steelers played it was the defensive end went right to the running back, and then the linebacker came over the top to go to the quarterback in case he pulled it out, if that makes sense, right? Like an arc, right? So the defensive end, in this case, Watt, would go right down the line to the running back. The linebacker, who's off the line, would then spy Lamar kind of and go to him. You can do that. They also run a little more 3-4 in Pittsburgh. 4-3, you're generally going to have your defensive end go to the quarterback, and then the linebackers are taking the running back, generally. And yes, if he pulls it out, you can give him a free shot as long as it's not, you know, well after the play pulling it out, I guess.
Yeah, no, I get it. And now with you saying a 4-3, because I just thought TJ could have had a couple clean shots at Lamar, and you know what? Then Lamar, you know, he could get hurt, then, or the coach could say, "Look, we can't do this anymore."
Well,
they can change the game plan.
They can, but here's the problem with that: if he did that, they would have just he's not going to Derrick Henry, which is what his job is, and then they get beat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think I'd rather have our linebackers running at the kneecaps of Henry while Russo or those guys are taking Lamar out.
Well, I hope you're not advocating for anybody getting injured. I get the point you're making, but let's not, you know, advocate for anybody taking anybody out and getting injured. But you do want to make sure that they feel you there and take shots. And the more you hit people, the less apt they are to be running or throwing. There's no doubt about that. Real quick, Ed Reed was on with Kay Adams this week, and he said something about this. And I love Ed Reed. I'm a huge Ed Reed fan. But I just think, I don't know what he was talking about. He said, we would just keep hitting Josh Allen because after a while, he wouldn't want to throw because it's been proven. Like, what has been proven? That is not true about Josh Allen. His defense back in the day with the Ravens, they would just destroy everybody, right? But I just didn't understand what he was trying to say there, which is a little bit in line of what the caller was talking about with Lamar Jackson. All right, Pat Hammer coming up after this timeout. Weather on Sunday, very, very, very important. What's it going to be like?
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
WGRZ TV2 chief meteorologist Patrick Hammer joins me on the West Her Hotline. Pat, we're finally here on a Friday. There's been so much about this game that we've been dissecting and talking about. It gets exhausting, but I'm glad we're here on a Friday finally. Good morning to you.
I'm getting like 30,000 steps a day in because I'm pacing.
right?
Yeah.
Back and forth, thinking about this game, thinking about the forecast, thinking about all of the, just all of it, you know? This game's got to get here. I'm high anxiety.
Well, listen, there's been a lot of talk about the weather this week, of course, and what these temperatures are going to feel like and be like. And I think there's been a lot of misinformation. So why don't you narrow it down for us? 6:30 p.m. Sunday night in Orchard Park. What are we looking at for the game time weather and then as the night progresses?
Sure. So here's the real deal is this, is that some of the coldest air in years is coming into Western New York and Buffalo starting this weekend and into next week. The truest cold air actually arrives Monday, but the process of that cold air coming in is actually Sunday. Here's the for sure. It is going to be cold. I would call it frigid. The good news is that it will not be that windy. A kickoff temperature of about 17 to 18 degrees, okay? And then a fourth quarter temperature of about 13. So this is actually maybe just a few degrees warmer than the playoff game 3 years ago against New England. Still cold, no doubt, but there's not a wind element, really. So there will be wind chills. It doesn't take much of a breeze at that temperature to create a chill. The wind chills should stay above zero, probably in that single-digit wind chill category for temperatures. Okay. The other issue, though, is the snow potential. And that possibility has actually increased a bit, okay, for a couple of reasons. Admittedly, Sal, this is a really tricky weather pattern into Sunday into next week, okay? The cold air is pouring in, and that will generate some lake response in towards the stadium, meaning there will be some areas of snow, we believe, coming off the lake into the stadium for tailgating and during the game. I would like to say that it should be light, but when the air is very cold and the lake is still ice-free, even what looks like light snow can become moderate snow, a.k.a. yesterday, okay, where the snow got pretty heavy at times. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to replicate yesterday's weather, but there is a chance of light to maybe even moderate snow, okay? The complicating thing here is that just in the last day or two, not to get too much into the weeds here, but there's a developing storm that's going to affect the East Coast Sunday afternoon and Sunday night. And that has decided to maybe get a little closer to us for comfort, okay? Meaning there's a chance, if that trend continues, this kind of westward shift, there could be a general light snow or moderate snow for the game itself. So what I'm trying to say is there are snow chances, but they could come from two different places or two different sources, if you will. And that's why we've got to keep our radar up for Sunday in terms of the snow potential, because it is there.
Is there a drastic change throughout the day Sunday when people are arriving to the stadium for a 6:30 game versus the game itself versus the drive home?
Yeah, so the temperature is going to peak at around 20 to 22 as, you know, tailgates are getting going. That's like, let's say, in the early afternoon. And then it's going to begin to trail off. I don't think it's going to be a dramatic change, but it will start getting colder after about 2 or 3, okay? So by, again, kickoff, 17, 18 degrees, and then low teens by the end of the game. It is going to get breezy here, but not until the game is over. So we're really lucking out with that element. The wind that is going to come on Monday is not going to be here for the game. So it should still be relatively light with the wind and just a cold and potentially at times wintry weather on for the game. That is something we really got to watch, and that's the snow potential.
Any complications Saturday with the Ravens getting here, or is that storm not getting there until Sunday?
No, so there's the system that's going to deliver this cold air is coming tomorrow, and what we're going to see here, and I don't think it should have any problems getting them here. There is going to be kind of a rain. It's going to be sloppy tomorrow. We're going to see snow in the morning, but in the city or close to the lake, it may be rain for a little while, and then it'll transition, or a combo platter of both, and then it'll kind of transition to snow later in the morning and into the afternoon. I don't think it's the kind of system that's going to cause any travel problems at the airport.
Okay, that said, I don't know if you've looked at it. My apologies, but you know, I'll ask you here. The Eagles play at home against the Rams at 3 p.m. Sunday. Given everything you just said, are we looking at a weather game in Philadelphia?
That is a possibility. That, again, it does look, yes, that is a possibility that we could have some snow for that game as well. Again, this is an evolving deal. This system for the East Coast kind of showed up yesterday. It's like, whoa, where did that come from? That can happen. When you're dealing with this kind of cold air, and again, this is the kind of cold air that next week we're going to have high temperatures in the single digits.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have dangerous wind chills next week. We haven't had this kind of cold air in 5 or 6 years,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even longer. So that's the rate. When you have that kind of cold, it can do mercurial things with the atmosphere, and that's going to be taking place on Sunday. So, yes, there is the potential of a wintry game for Buffalo and for the Eagles.
It's wild. I'm looking at the Kansas City weather, a high of 51 today of what I'm looking at, but then tomorrow for the game, a high of 24.
That's the cold air. Yeah.
Yeah.
Winter's worst is on its way for much of the country. We might be talking snow in northern Florida next week.
Wow.
Can we
take a peek at early next week? We have a holiday on Monday.
Yep.
And then these frigid temperatures on Tuesday. I mean, we could be even talking like cold days, not snow days for the kids, right?
I think there is the potential of that Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
Again, it's been the last time we had a high temperature below 10 in Buffalo was in 2019. So it's been about 6 years. And there's going to be wind with that. So that's where you get those wind chills. It's a wind chill determination for, you know, cold days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have a 15 to 25 below zero wind chill potential, that could be the case. And you're going to have lake effect snow as well.
Hmm.
The lake is going to freeze up, or we're going to gain a lot of ice next week, but not in time to keep a lake effect snow from kicking in next week as well.
All right, so get your gear and your shovels ready next week. Okay, and then real quickly here, let's just kind of hope maybe, you know, the Texans go to Kansas City, they knock off the Chiefs, the Bills win. We're back here in Orchard Park in a week from Sunday. What are we looking at?
There is so much weather in front of me over the next 7 days.
Yeah.
I can admit that I haven't really peaked towards
right.
this weekend. I will say it does moderate next Thursday, Friday.
Okay.
But then there may be some more cold air behind that. So I love the idea of looking forward to that, but I've got to get through the preface before the main part of the book, if you know what I mean.
So do the Buffalo Bills. It's all good. It's all good. You know, we can kind of look ahead every once in a while here on the radio, but I totally get it. And there's a lot of different things that could change what happens over the next several days and into next week. Pat, thank you so much. And I'll say to you what I said to Sean McDermott. I look forward to talking to you about a football game next Friday.
That's what we will be doing a week from right now. I know it.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right, bye-bye.
You got it. Pat Hammer, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist, Sal Capaccio, Josh Schmidt producing. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.